conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio, covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. Some years ago, I was watching an interview on TV with a man who was an undercover federal agent who had infiltrated a radical communist student organization, and this was back in the 1960s or 70s, I believe. This man spoke about one incident where he was present during a conversation between the leaders of this organization, in which they discussed what they believed would be the inevitable result of a communist takeover of America, which they firmly believed would occur. The former undercover law enforcement agent related that he was stunned to hear these communist students, a number of whom held advanced university degrees, talking about how the communist takeover of America would require the establishment of large-scale concentration camps, what have been called re-education centers in other totalitarian states, to be established for those Americans who would resist the communist takeover. Those in the camps who could not be re-educated to accept communist ideology would have to be exterminated via mass executions, these communist student leaders stated. The number to be executed was, at that time, considered to be something like 25 million, as I recall. This would be many more than that with today's population. This is how communists think. And while we today have millions of brainwashed people here in this country, the USA, who have been conditioned to believe communism or some form of it is actually desirable and best for the common good of humanity around the planet, these brainwashed fools actually somehow believe that they will prosper under such a monstrous totalitarian political, social, and economic system. Well, they might themselves prosper, at least initially, if they are among the elites who are involved in the takeover. But tell me, where and when throughout history have totalitarian governments seized power around the world that mass murder, slavery, and terror have not followed? Along with much rivalry and deadly bloodshed among the ruling elites of those regimes. But to these starry-eyed communist dupes, the lessons of history mean nothing. This time, with the supposed inevitable merging of communism and capitalism, like that glowingly forecast by the communist China-worshipping, incredibly insane psychopaths of the World Economic Forum, as documentary maker David Sorensen of StopWorldControl.com has described them, this time there truly will be paradise on Earth. As multimillionaire businessman, inventor, and election integrity activist Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, who you'll see and hear from later in this program, has observed, communism is in fact a religion. It's the religion of the all-powerful government state. Under the religion of communism, the ends always justify the means undertaken to establish and maintain this all-powerful government rule over all of humanity. Therefore, endless lies, trickery, deception, lawfare, and other means are perfectly acceptable to achieve the ends desired, which in reality is the absolute slavery of humanity. As I've always said before, inevitably this means that mass murder, slavery, and terror are considered acceptable and even desirable means to achieve the goal of the workers' paradise and utopia on Earth. A key goal of our supposed heroic communist worshippers and dupes in America today is the elimination of the U.S. Constitution. We hear and see constant blather of those on the political left that Donald Trump and his Make America Great Again, or MAGA, movement supporters, all 100 million or so of us, are a threat to democracy. But the USA is not a strict democracy. Democracy, as Republican strategist Caroline Wren related on our last program, is two wolves and a lamb deciding what to have for breakfast. We are a constitutional republic with democratic principles. And that, my friends, is what so drives our leftist opponents so batty. They cannot stand the precious freedoms and individual liberties and rights people here in the USA have under the Constitution. So, the Constitution must be eliminated and transmogrified into something unrecognizable to those of us who believe in these individual rights and freedoms. David Horowitz of the Freedom Center and frontpagemag.com was once the darling of the communist left establishment in America. But he then turned on the left and is today one of the great thinkers and writers of our time, exposing many of the left's secrets and methods of operation. Horowitz has observed the U.S. Democratic Party today is the Communist Party, embracing and promoting communist ideology in solidarity with the nation's other communist and related leftist organizations. And sadly, there are also many phony Republicans who embrace or otherwise support this communist ideology for varying reasons. It's hard for me to understand how anyone could be a Democrat, let alone be a so-called rhino, that is Republican in name only. But the truth is, there are many, many of these people actively working for the completion of the current communist takeover of America. Since we are not yet at the point where the leftists in America wield the absolute power they crave, they are unable to order the executions of their opponents, but they are using every other means at their disposal to utterly destroy their political opponents, such as propaganda smear campaigns and the use of a weaponized legal system orchestrated through their control of the mass media, courts, and governmental institutions. Just look at what's being done to Donald Trump and his top advisors and supporters today. And many others who are maybe not so much at the top there, but are still very much involved in supporting Trump. Most of you are aware of last week's kangaroo court contrived so-called hush money corruption trial jury verdict of 34 felony counts against Donald Trump. That is, guilty of 34 felony counts. And yes, of course, Trump will be sentenced to prison by the Democrat operative judge in the case. This is all just the latest in the ongoing, enormously powerful leftist movement to destroy Trump and or silence and intimidate all of his supporters. Now again, as I always do with these narratives, I am not advocating any illegality or violence by those of us opposing this leftist madness and evil we are constantly confronted with today. As I've said, something irrational and illegal is exactly what our opponents want us to do, so they can, as always, skillfully use it as propaganda to further brainwash the masses into imposing and condemning Trump and Trump supporters. You know, we're all boogeymen threatening, quote, democracy, unquote. That is, threatening totalitarianism. Here's a compilation of just some of the reactions to the hush money trial verdict of Donald Trump. And this, of course, are all Trump from Trump supporters, prominent Trump supporters, on their media platforms. And, of course, these are all, you know, in favor of the view that this trial was a sham. You can get plenty of the other side by looking at the establishment media organizations, as you know. In these presentations, you'll hear from commentator Lou Dobbs, constitutional scholar and Harvard law professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz, former New York City mayor and federal prosecutor Rudy Giuliani, and Kash Patel, a former U.S. National Security Council official, senior advisor to the acting director of national intelligence, and chief of staff to the acting United States Secretary of Defense during the Trump presidency. Patel is also a federal prosecutor and federal public defender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Great America Show. Great to have you with us. America as we know it is no more. Yesterday, we watched a former president and the leading candidate for president this year be convicted on 34 counts of total, well, as the president put it, bullshit. A jury of 12 New York Marxists, totally brainwashed by a Marxist-dim judge and prosecutor, listening to the words of a porn star and a convicted liar, well, they convicted him on that. President Trump had a few words for the Marxist judge after he heard that verdict.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA, and the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end and we'll win because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble, but this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
May 30th, 2024. You can mark it down as the day justice died in the state of New York. As if a guilty verdict wasn't enough for the Marxist lowlife, Judge Juan Merchan, he has set a sentencing date of July 11th, just 4 days before the GOP convention. To take in all of this and where America goes from here, we asked Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, to join us here. He is the president of Judicial Watch. The important work they do is critical now in this crisis in America. And now here is Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch. And Tom, your thoughts as we watched this verdict in this Manhattan courtroom brought by the corrupt Marxist Dems that make up the power structure, certainly in New York.
You know, Lou, one of the reasons I'm always outraged is because, believe it or not, I'm an optimist. I thought maybe there'd be a juror or two who saw through this canard and would refuse to go along. And, of course, the ultimate optimism was that he'd be acquitted. But on the other hand, it shouldn't be surprising. It's certainly predictable, given the way this proceeding has been run, that this kangaroo court proceeding ended up in a absurd kangaroo-type verdict. And I don't know how else to describe it other than absurd. What is the basis for finding this man, President Trump, guilty of anything? There was no evidence. The jury should never even had these charges. This trial should never have been prosecuted. And certainly Judge Merchan himself should have been nowhere near this case, given his evident bias and compromised status and conflicted status. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I read, believe it or not, the 55-page jury instructions. We've all been kind of getting scattershot descriptions of it. And I read it, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is just designed to corral the jurors into making a guilty verdict. And that's what they got. And as President Trump has noted repeatedly, this was over for him. Once the venue was chosen, he wasn't going to get a jury that was going to treat him fairly. And in this case, the jury failed to put politics aside clearly, because there's no way the evidence of the law should have resulted in this outcome.
Obviously, you've all heard that Trump has been convicted of all counts. You all know that I predicted that in my book, Get Trump. I predicted it days before the verdict. I predicted it when the verdict came down today, but before we knew what the result was, as soon as the jurors said that they needed time to check off the boxes, it was clear to me that that meant a conviction. This is a very sad day for American justice. I have now added one banana to my usual banana republic grouping. We're up to seven or eight at this point. And it's a worse day for America than it actually is for Donald Trump. Don't know what the impact will be on Trump. Don't know what it'll be on his electoral prospects. He's probably not going to get jail time. And if he does, it would be stayed pending appeal. I don't know whether the case will be reversed on appeal. Sir, I don't think it would be reversed by the appellate division. These are judges who are terrified of being perceived of as helping Trump in any way. Don't know whether or not the New York Court of Appeals in Albany will have the ability to not consider the impact it will have on individuals as judges. Surely the Supreme Court wouldn't, but that's a way off, and there wouldn't be a decision by the Supreme Court probably before the election. This is still the weakest case I've ever seen in 60 years. The fact that the jury convicted based on false instructions, wrong instructions, based on the jurors having been between 85 and 90% picked from a veneer that hates Trump and doesn't want him to be president. The fact that the jury convicted doesn't make this case any stronger or any better. I was recently, just 15 minutes ago, on with the Times of London, and they were saying, well, doesn't the fact that the jury convicted prove that it was a strong case? No. It proves that it was a case that was brought in a jurisdiction where a conviction was almost assuredly guaranteed. In the South, when they convicted black people improperly with an all-white jury, or acquitted white people improperly with an all-white jury, that didn't mean that those convictions were correct. It just meant that the jury didn't reflect the values of our country. It reflected the values of a particular region of the country. In this case, the region is a liberal region, New York. In the Southern cases, the region was the conservative region of the South. But juries are imperfect, and juries represent the biases of individuals. We do live in the age of Trump syndrome, of people can't not talk rationally about Donald Trump any more than they can talk rationally about Israel or about some other subjects. Trump is the most divisive person we've had in politics since the Civil War. And it's not surprising that a jury would come back after what was 10 hours or so of deliberation, guilty on all counts for crimes that, after 60 years of experience as a criminal lawyer, I still don't understand. I don't understand how you can resurrect a statute of limitation barred misdemeanor and turn it into a viable felony because maybe Trump thought when somebody signed a bookkeeping entry from a menu that the appropriate listing was legal expenses rather than something that's not on the menu, reimbursement for a non-disclosure agreement. How you can then turn that into a felony by saying, but at the time that somebody else did it, he must have intended to commit another crime. This was a foreordained verdict. And I very much worry about what this is going to mean for America. It's going to incentivize local prosecutors in red states and red cities of red states to bring fake charges against Democrats, against people running for president, against their, in this case, his son, maybe, and against people running for other office, senators, congressmen. This is the opening battle in a war of courts, a war in which will be fought not at ballot boxes as much as in jury boxes.
Good afternoon. This is Rudy Giuliani with the Rudy Giuliani Show. And thank you for joining us on the day after the massive shock of the recognition, I wouldn't say the creation, but the recognition that this country is no longer a nation of laws, because the former president of this country was found guilty, but we don't know what crime he was found guilty of because he was tried illegally. Yeah, illegally. He was tried in violation of some of the most sacred rights that we've had for hundreds and hundreds of for centuries. Extraordinary. I didn't think it was possible to have an American judge charge a jury that you could be less than unanimous on an important element of a crime. I just didn't think that was possible, nor does the Supreme Court. That in a case that he never even mentioned, as if he's a law unto himself, the Ramos versus United States case, it's clear that the jury has to be unanimous. And in the Anders case, it's clear that they have to be unanimous on every particular. This idea that you can, you know, there are the predicate crimes, you can be three on one and five on the other and four on another. That's just completely dismissed when you read both Anders and Ramos together. And the Ramos case also points out something that you would think he'd be sensitive to, the whole history of the few exceptions where there were non-unanimous juries in two states emerged from the Ku Klux Klan having done that. So this is, again, the Democratic Party, you know, returning to its slave-supporting roots. Or maybe Biden is kind of okay with that because of his close and warm relationship with former members of the Ku Klux Klan. But before they start throwing around racist stuff, they took a racist principle and applied it to the trial of Donald Trump and deprived him of one of the most ancient and sacred rights that we have. And when Trump says, you know, it's not just him, they're coming after you. If they have equal feelings that you're non-regime, they'll do it to you. I mean, do you have any doubt that when, for example, Adams was criticizing Biden, and he got together two other mayors to go to the White House and complain that Biden was letting all these illegals in, and he had to do something about it? And as he arrives at the steps of the White House, he gets notified that his chief aide had just been raided by the FBI. You think that was coincidental? If you do, you're extremely naive.
Cash Patel, you're on fire with action, 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 particularly in the House and other places. Tell me what you guys are cooking up right now to go on offense.
Yeah, so look, you got to live in reality, as you said, Steve, and you got to action items that can be actioned. And thanks to the brave warrior in Congress, that is Corey Mills from Florida, we've called on Congress to subpoena the records of Judge Mershon's daughter's company to find out how much money, how many millions and millions of dollars she made for her family during the pendency of this trial, this unconstitutional rig job with clients like Adam Schiff and company. Furthermore, we want to subpoena the bank records of her companies that show how much money she made after the verdict has come in and how much of that benefited her father, Judge Mershon, because there's a New York State law on the books that says you as a judge cannot preside over a case in which any member of your family monetarily benefits indirectly from the proceedings before you. And there is no greater example of a violation of that rule than Judge Mershon in this case. I've always said money doesn't lie, and I agree with you and Davis. We got to take action that can be taken. And the state attorney general's office in Florida can do the same thing because one of Judge Mershon's daughter's companies is housed in the state of Florida. So the War Room Posse has got to call Congress, has got to get behind Corey Mills, a brave warrior from Florida, and demand that the subpoenas be sent by the jurisdictional committees of consequence, whether it's judiciary or what have you. These subpoenas have to go out so we, the American public, can find the funds and track the funds. And then We can have an inquiry into how many FEC violations this company committed by utilizing the illicit flow of information from her father's courtroom to benefit an election. That is an actual FEC violation. Maybe there's a brave attorney general out there willing to do that. But right now we need the subpoena.
Much is being made today in the alternative, that is, non-leftist-dominated media, about Joe Biden's fitness for holding office. The signs of his serious cognitive and physical decline are obvious. I believe this decline is exacerbated by the fact that old Joe has been getting all those COVID vaccinations, which he's been so proud of showing off on videos of him getting these shots. And these are known to affect one's heart and blood flow to the brain. I think you could make the same argument about one of Biden's masters, the so-called left-wing billionaire, George Soros, and others. But regardless, these people still know exactly what they are doing, which is following through with their goal of the Marxist takeover of America. Still, it's interesting that there's currently been accelerated discussion of speculation that Joe Biden is being pumped full of drugs, particularly amphetamines, to keep him alert and more focused, as much as one can be so, given these suspected heavy-duty stimulants. Here's some commentary on this matter by YouTube podcaster Mr. Reagan.
So why is this assertion that Joe Biden's being given drugs for his public appearances, why has this assertion this time blown up so much in the news media? Well, I think it's because right now in 2024, a lot of people are starting to believe it. Previously, I think people just dismissed this as, you know, Donald Trump being Donald Trump, right? Conservatives slinging mud. But now it's hard to pretend you don't notice that this might be true. I mean, for a lot of us, it's pretty obviously true. I mean, we're not talking about breaking news here exactly. But let's go through the evidence, shall we? All right. It was noticed by a lot of people on X just recently. People have been posting about this a lot, that during Biden's 13-second Make My Day debate challenge video, that there were five jump cuts in 13 seconds.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Five jump cuts in 13 seconds. That's bad even for a Mr. Reagan video. And let's face it, I am the undisputed king of the jump cut. I was never very good at reading a teleprompter, much to my editor's chagrin. Sorry about that, Matt. But now Joe Biden has released another video that has gone viral on X because it is the most obvious example yet that something ain't right.
You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-cop. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-democracy. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-American. Donald Trump lacked the courage to act. The brave women and men in blue all across this nation should never forget that.
People have noticed that Joe Biden does not blink for the entire length of this video. He's got that thousand-yard stare, you know, the thousand-yard stare that people used to associate with shell shock. And this is not just like random conservatives on X noticing something. A few people have actually come out and said that apparently this is an open secret in Washington, D.C. Representative Greg Murphy stated on Maria Bartiromo the other day that he has, quote, a little bit of good knowledge that Biden was given drugs before the State of the Union.
I was in the State of the Union address, and Joe Biden must have been jacked up on something that day. I absolutely believe that from a medical viewpoint, and actually have a little bit of good knowledge that happened. He can't stand it. He can't stand under the lights for that long, and I don't think he can keep a concept in his brain that long.
Ashton, what do you mean when you say he was jacked up at the State of the Union?
I believe they gave him something to help him sustain the lights and sustain the vigor that he had. That was not Joe Biden. I was in there. He screamed for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Screamed for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe we can talk offline and I'll show you something. And I think that proves that.
Well, you'll show me what?
I think I can have some evidence that shows that he was given something before then.
And say what you will about Alex Jones, but he has often been right about stuff that a lot of us have laughed at in the past. And he was on Tucker the other day saying that Biden is being given drugs. And then Tucker responded that he actually knows someone who has firsthand knowledge that Biden was given amphetamines to keep him lucid during the 2020 election cycle.
But yeah, he is completely out of his mind. He wanders around for the entire 2.5 years. It's getting worse. Naked in the White House. In the middle of the night, doesn't know who he is. They have to give him a bunch of drugs, yeah. A bunch of amphetamines in the morning. Then they've got to drug him at night. Sometimes he's got to, though, he'll like be out for the morning for a while and then comes back out at night for a ball. That's when there's a real problem.
He is on drugs. I have established that. I know someone who witnessed it. I'm not guessing at this. I know someone personally who witnessed him taking amphetamines. And this was during the 2020 election.
So how's this going to, that's huge. I know you don't play games. You've been proven.
No, I don't play games with this. I'll just say he's a makeup artist.
So, yeah, it looks like Joe Biden is being given strong drugs in order to function lucidly in public and in front of the cameras. And, you know, I think this is going to come as a huge shock to literally no one.
Moving on to the subject of how the left's takeover of America is being enabled through rigged elections. Here are comments by Jovan Hutton Pulitzer on his Rumble.com channel from a few days ago. Pulitzer is a specialist in kinetics and oversaw much of the state of Arizona's forensic audit of the 2020 election. As I recall, he presented a report finding a huge amount of suspected fraudulent acts in that state's election, but it was all promptly swept under the carpet by the corrupt establishment. And Jovan Hutton Pulitzer then became the subject of intense ridicule by the establishment's controlled media and other establishment representatives who were tasked with debunking Pulitzer's findings. It seems the corrupt Republican establishment has declared Pulitzer persona non grata as a source of election integrity information. As with all such material presented in our alternative media, I don't always agree with everything, but find I'm in basic agreement with much of it, if not most of it. And as always, you can judge for yourself the value and veracity of what is being presented to you. Pulitzer is a prolific producer of material for his daily podcasts on Rumble.com and its related Locals.com channel. He also has an ongoing podcast and syndicated radio show called Cut the Crap. This is also the same show on the Rumble channel, Cut the Crap. And the acronym CRAP standing for Culture, Race, and American Politics. There's so much material and commentary presented in these podcasts, it's quite time-consuming to get through. I imagine most people just don't have the time to spend the hours each day sifting through all that Pulitzer presents. The heart of his comments and insights often don't begin until 20 or more minutes into these podcasts. But if you are willing to pick through all this material, there are many gems of information and hard-hitting factual analysis that make them well worth the time you spend. At least that's my take on it. Pulitzer has, over the past week or so, posted a series of podcast presentations titled Corruption, Cash, and Election Interference. I recommend you sorting through this stuff when you have the time. There are some very interesting and valuable facts and points made. Here's some of Pulitzer's opening commentary on this series.
So we're going to take a look at this. I'm going to do a 5-part series. Right? And I'm going to give you an inside look at the various corruption, cash, and election interference. Because, folks, it's not just about the voting machines. I don't know how many times I can say it. It is not just about the voting machines. There are so many ways that they corrupt our elections and corrupt stuff going on. Because I swear it's just trying to wear us out. But that's the thing. If they get us to stand down, I've said this before. Let me give you some psychology here, right? Let me give you some psychologies. is I want you to understand that let's say the bad guys rigged an election and it was totally horrible and you knew it. And then all of a sudden, none of the judges or none of the courts would deal with it. Now, there's a certain amount of the American population, ready for this, that said, fuck it, I'm not voting again because my vote doesn't count either. Well, let me pose something to you. If they can make enough people stand down because people say, fuck it, my vote doesn't count either, let me ask you a question. Do they ever need to actually rig another election? No. You get the con game, folks? See, you're a movable pawn in this stuff. You are a movable pawn. I'll give you an example. In Georgia, where Herschel Walker was running, whether you like him or not doesn't matter. You should have got another conservative in your Senate, right? But one man professed Jesus enough. Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. I'm Jesus. Look at me. I'm the resurrected Jesus. I'm speaking of Lynn Wood. And what did Lynn Wood say to you? Because so many people followed him because he said Jesus the most. What did he tell you to do? Don't vote. Protest. Protest right now and show them we're not going to take their shit, so don't vote. That'll wake them up. No, it fucking didn't. It just made sure Herschel didn't get in. There are so many con jobs, rackets, ringers. I call it rhinos, rumors, and rat bastards. And you have to understand, even though they're going to do everything they can to compromise our elections, put your big boy pants on and you better vote more, harder, and all the time. And I'm not talking in the Democrat way. I'm just talking in the legit way. Look, I'm guilty of this just like anybody else. I treated our elections like a lottery ticket. I did. Kind of like a lottery ticket. Get up to $1 billion. Okay, I'll play it. Right? I would only vote for a president, maybe a senator if I recognized the name. I never voted down ticket. I didn't give a rat's who. I've never voted for a school board member or mayor or city council or whatever. And that's where they stole everything. I learned the hard way doing Maricopa. Boy, I learned the hard way. Board of Supervisors of Maricopa, Mayor Corruption County, Arizona, have more power than even the president of the United States. It's kind of ridiculous, right? It's kind of ridiculous. And so as we're in the middle of this election season, it's all going to heat up. There's going to be more banning. There's going to be more chatter. I'm going to show you some of the ways this racket works. And some of the other, right, other things that happen. By the way, I'm watching the chatter on Rumble. I'm telling you, the difference in a Herschel Walker win or lose was Lynn Wood telling people in Georgia, don't vote and protest. We got to show them. I'm telling you that first freaking hand. Because if those people would have voted, I know many people, even fighters, right? Even fighters in Georgia just didn't bother to vote. That's not going to matter anyway. You know what? If you're not going to vote, somebody's going to vote for you. Did you ever think about that?
I have a friend who lives in Arizona and often proudly proclaims, quote, I don't vote, unquote. I keep telling him that in reality, he does vote and always for Joe Biden and other Democrats and corrupt Republicans, the very people he so despises. He just doesn't know it. Time to wake up, I'd say. Lastly today, let's watch and listen to more of Jovan Hutton Pulitzer's commentary on election interference, this time his criticism of a recent establishment Republican group's declaration that it supports use of paper ballots and what they call assistive electronic devices in elections. Pulitzer's presentation contends that the GOP, through this resolution, just 100% is enabling vote rigging by approving of and promoting the use of these assistive electronic voting devices among the voting materials their resolution supports.
Folks, we're talking about crap. We're talking about a new voting unaudible rig is on the rise. The GOP put out a pat myself on the back press release that they've got done everything. Now, it has some really good words in it, but I've taught you to read between the words. I've taught you to read between the words. Let me ask you a question. If they say you got to use paper in voting, you've got to use paper in voting, and you walked up to a machine and you pushed a code on a computer, beep, boop, 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 and you posted, you printed the little oval, and it printed you out a gas station receipt. Well, technically it's paper, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it is. Is that securing your vote? Is it securing your vote when they print the gas station receipt and basically say names and whatever on it? Is that your ballot? Well, see, they call it a tricky thing. They call it a ballot receipt. So what does it have the two common denominators you want? It has paper and it has ballot. But can it be audited? No, it's totally 100% unauditable. So let me share you an example. And by the way, you should be sharing the hell out of this program. If you give a crap about elections, you should be sharing this program. Somebody asked, it's obviously new to my program in Rumble, have you told everybody this? Are you kidding me? The GOP has people that does nothing but go around to all the media outlets telling them, do not interview Jovan. Don't do it. Now, why would they worry about little old me? I don't know nothing. They even put other conservative hosts on to tell you, Jovan doesn't know nothing. He doesn't have any ballots. Although they could look for themselves and find all my patents in 190 countries. But they know you won't. You'll just listen to it. So let me give you an example. Let's see if you can poke holes in this. Because Gabriel Sterling, right, who's not too sterling with this greedy old pricks, GOP, right, says, election experts agree that the most resilient voting systems use paper ballots. Now, is that a resolution, folks? No, that's actually a statement. Whereas election experts agree that the most resilient voting system use paper ballots. Ha! Paper ballots. Oh, my God. That's just a statement, folks. Now, let's kind of take it apart. Ready? The second part says either marked by hand or with an assistive device. So they said hand because you know you need hand marked ballots. But all of a sudden they stuck in pink or an assistive device or a device that intercepts it. See, they know you'll only pick up what you want to hear. And therefore it's freaking written in it. You're going to pick up. Look, paper ballots marked by hand. Yay, and it's going to be verified. Let's just read this again. Election experts agree the most resilient voting system use, keywords, paper ballots, either marked by hand, keyword, or an assistive device, and are verified, keyword, by the voter, keyword, before any means of tabulation. Keyword, do you get it? Okay, so let's go through this drill. Georgia, you know what I'm talking about. When you walk in to vote on election day, Tarrant County and other places, you know what I'm talking about. What's the common denominator of these places that use ballot marking devices? If you do your homework and you're truly an election integrity expert, not some doofus with a bow tie put up on TV, here's what you realize. Go back and study ballot marking devices. What do you notice? Well, they put them in heavily Republican areas, and it goes very short, fast track from red to purple to blue. Now, that should tell you something about these devices. But let's see, let's do some linear thinking here. Let's do some linear thinking that all these supposed experts don't know crap about. If you walk up, if you go in and you check with your ID, because we're going to check ID. Still has to be defined, doesn't it? Okay, so you're going to walk in, supposedly going to present your ID, and you're able to vote. And they're going to say, go to that machine over there. You walk over to the machine, right? You tap it, it turns on. And up comes the ballot. And you take your little greasy finger, like mine, and you go boop, 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 boop. And you cast your votes. Okay? And then there's two versions. It's either going to give you a receipt that's a small gas paper receipt, or it's going to print one sheet of paper with a Q code on it, okay? And it's going to list your votes underneath it. Now, let me ask you a question. They tell you that these things with a Q code on it is a test ballot, that you can test them, you can verify them. Now, let me ask you a question. In that scenario, what's the first thing you recognize, if you think linearly, what's missing in that equation? You walk in, you check in, you go to that machine, you go boop, 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 and it prints something. There's something missing in that equation. What is it? That's right. A real ballot. See, normally you would walk in, they would verify who you were, and you would be handed a ballot. You would take your pen, you fill it out yourself. So you got something in your possession, paper. You filled it out yourself, right? It's not going to be marked wrong if you fill it out yourself, technically, unless you're an idiot. That's okay. But what do you have in your hand? Your ballot. And then you walk over and go scan it. Now, in this scenario, the first thing you notice is, well, I don't have a ballot. Now, let's go backwards. Let's roll back to Arizona 2020. See, we told the system in Arizona, you've got over 100,000 black and white ballots, because we track everything, watch my other programs, that should not exist. It means they're either a duplicate or whatever, but they should not exist in this system, even by your own numbers. Now, let me ask you a question. If the machine marks your vote and prints your ballot at the same time, what do you realize? Well, you realize a few things. It's not official ballot paper. And if a machine can print the ballot and can print the oval too, it also means that any ballot is easily duplicated because the way it's marked is on the same machine that prints the ballot. See, there's a reason that official ballots have color. And there's a reason you hand mark them. Because then, if any time a machine inserted a screw and vote, it would kick it out going, wait, this is not marked by hand. Let me ask you a question. Why in Arizona in 2020 do we have official ballots that have machine-filled in ovals? Oh, yeah, that's right, according to Nancy Pelosi. We mailed those ballots, and that person just had a special kind of printer, and they put it in there, and they were able to print the ovals. Get it? No, no, no. You're screwed. No, no, no. It's wrong. If the same machine that prints the ballot fills in the oval, you can now do anything you want. Now, what's the second part of that rig? Well, see, they're not giving you your oval marked ballot out. Some places will print the actual ballot where the oval got inserted. And then you go into the other machines. But now they're moving to the barcode piece. And here's what you need to understand. You ready? Georgia made a whoopity-doo, whoopity-doo before the 2020 election that we're going to paper ballots. Well, what did it mean? It didn't mean squat. They didn't go to paper ballots. They went to machine marked ballots and gave you basically a Q code receipt. That's how I got involved in this, folks. It's my patent portfolio. I get a call from the White House. Everybody's thinking that these codes are wrong. Joe Biden, it's your stuff. You've got the National Institute of Technology. You've been recommended to get the President's Medal on this. We'll look at it. I want you to look at it. Tell us what's going on. And I said, the Q code means nothing. It's all smoke and mirrors because you can't audit it. So it really doesn't mean anything. So in Georgia, they're hullabaloo. We're going to paper. What did it mean? It meant when you walked in and you went boop, 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 boop on the machine, it's going to print a piece of paper. But see, all you heard was paper. We're going to paper. We're going to paper. We're going to paper. That's the rig. And then you can't audit these things. Do you know why? Because the decoding database, the county doesn't even have it. They have to rely on the voting company. And so they're going to call the vote software company that's residing it, because it's all proprietary, and say, are you sure this worked? Yeah, it worked. But the piece of paper, they will print, and they can print what you wrote. But does that mean that what is written below is exactly what's contained in that code? No, it's not. In fact, I can show you codes that should be blank ballots, but if you look at the code where a blank ballot was run in, the code, because I can decode it, actually shows in some of them there is a vote there, but it says zero on the paper. But see, all you hear is paper. I even had somebody in Texas swear to me, I'm getting all the ballots and we're scanning them. I'm getting every ballot and we're gonna audit them. I got them all. I got them doing it. They weren't getting the ballots. They were getting a receipt, a scanned receipt of what the machine said happened. It's kind of like the cast vote records. Here's what we said happened. Give us the cast vote records. Oh, crap. It says the same thing you said. But look at this F. It's an F. It's inserted votes. No, it's not. And the GOP has just endorsed this, because that little bit right there with an assistive device verified by the voter. You want the numbers? Here's an audit. How many people do you think look at their ballot or their receipt after it's printed out? True numbers. If you went into one of these places, of all the people voting, how many people then turn around and look at that paper to verify it's right? 51% never look. That's bad.
So, once again, it's very clear to me that people who refuse to vote as a means of protesting the situation, the political situation today, are cutting their and the nation's collective throats by refusing to vote. We all must vote in every election, and we must all, just as important, we must all get involved in efforts to establish true election integrity in our local elections operations and processes, and support the same for the rest of the country. We don't have much time left to do so. If we lose the 2024 election, God help us. That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com and elsewhere. Look for us again with another show in this same time slot 2 weeks from today. Have a great rest of your day and evening.